Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now, broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We could leave any day, call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out.
Welcome into the show. I want to thank Eric Layden one more time for joining us, filling in for Lance. Your guy Lance will be back next week. The guy took vacation. Been doing draft stuff for the last 3 or 4 months, decided to take some time off, but he'll be back on Monday. Thank you, Eric, for joining us. Had a good time with him. And this show set a rather modest goal for the Astros, and, you know, they got the job done, at least for this show. Losing 2 out of 3 to the Yankees wasn't great, particularly the first two games, not competitive at all. But this show set a goal for them. Leave New York with something. And thanks to the best story of this Astros season, they did. Ronel Blanco, again, a good performance. He gave up that home run that I thought was that Kyle Tucker was going to track down, but it just kept going. I didn't think that ball was hit particularly hard, but it just kept floating out to right field. So he gave up a 2-run homer. But overall, you can't ask for anything more from a guy who, look, no one expected him, despite what he was in spring training, to be a guy you would depend on to be your stopper. And that's what he's been. His ERA right now overall is just over 2.2, and he's pitching to the sixth inning of all his starts, and it's through 7 starts. You talk about that performance from any pitcher, and you'd be thrilled. And the fact that you're getting it from the guy who's nominally your 5th starter, when you talk about the accolades that some of the other guys had coming in, it's been a remarkable run for him at 30 years old to do it. Are we looking at a potential 30-year-old rookie of the year? No. Has he had enough Major League experience? The baseball rules are always weird to me, is how much you have to be part of the Major League roster, and how many innings you have to be in or at bats when it comes to an everyday player to qualify.
He exceeded the rookie limit last year.
Damn it. I wanted a 30-year-old rookie for the Astros. So that's off the table. I imagine if he was in line for that, we would have heard quite a bit about it. I was hoping. I felt like that wasn't in play. I was just hoping it was. But Ronel Blanco won't be Blanco. I always go back and forth, much like Hartenstein and Hartenstein. I go from Blanco to Blanco, but it's Blanco. That's generally how that last name is pronounced. Ronel Blanco thought he could win Rookie of the Year. At least I was hoping he could. But either way, he'll be. I don't know what the Astros postseason awards, like the ones they give out to within the organization, but it can't be Newcomer of the Year. Can't be Rookie of the Year. Can't be Young Player of the Year. What award would he get? Team MVP, possibly? Is that up for?
Yeah, I was going to say Cy Young. Team Cy Young.
Team Cy Young, possibly. And hell, the way he's going, he might be in line for the actual Cy Young the way he's pitching right now.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many options for Comeback Player of the Year. Like, half the pitching staff is an option for Comeback Player of the Year.
Sure.
And I don't know if he's really coming back from anything other than
not being.
We didn't think you were good.
Yeah, other than we didn't expect much from you.
You had to earn your spot the last day of preseason. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, but he's been great, and he was good. And he was good yesterday. The Astros get the win. I mean, Ryan Pressly and Josh Hader tried their damnedest to repeat what has happened throughout this season. Presley gives up the home run to Judge. Hader has a man on, nearly throws the ball away on what would have gone down as a swinging bunt, pretty much. John Singleton, who hit a bomb yesterday, he and Yordan go deep. Singleton's bomb left Yordan aghast. The pictures you see on Twitter of Yordan absolutely shocked by a ball that would have gone into the upper deck, but it hit the facade on the upper deck and then bounced down.
It's always nice seeing a meme happen in real time.
Yeah.
We're just like, oh, okay, someone's going to clip that.
That's going to be something we're going to see. Hopefully the Astros have a lot more moments where it can be used, because it can be used in a positive and negative fashion, honestly, depending on the moments. Hopefully there are more positive ones on the way. Certainly the season so far hasn't been filled with them. But the guy who is now my favorite Astro, because of a story, because of the unexpectedness of how he's performed, I'm in on Blanco as my favorite Astro. And, you know, you've got your old standbys like Altuve. But as far as guys you're hoping turn this season into a real thing where whatever his future is in Astro, we can point to this year and go, this is where it started. I'm in on Blanco. And he's continuing to pitch well. The bats continuing to underperform with runners in scoring position. And another 3-for-12 outing for them. And a couple of hits were like singles that didn't result in runs. So even a couple of hits didn't even lead to runs being scored, but they still counted as a positive in that 3-for-12. So only one of the hits resulted in a run scored. But they found a way. They found a way to close out a game in New York and avoid getting swept again by the Yankees. Which we'll take it. We'll take it at this point because there's not much else to take.
Raise the banner.
We didn't get swept in New York banner. We didn't get swept by the Yankees twice within like 40 days banner.
Well, 1-7 in the or 1-6 in the season series against the Yankees.
We said it. I'm gonna leave here with something, and that's what they left here with. They or left New York with. Denzel told you, and Ronel Blanco. I knew he would get it done. What are we doing, Sean?
I'm leaving here with something. You know what I mean? I'm from around the way. I'm leaving with something.
Blancos are from around the way, and we're leaving here with something. That was the approach last night, or yesterday afternoon into the night, and they got it done, thankfully. Thank you to one of the highest priced bullpens in all of baseball, at least 7, 8, 9 for coming through. Shaky. Abreu was great. 8, 9 weren't so great, but we got it done.
It really is impossible for any member of the big three at the end of the bullpen to come in and just have a stressless clean inning. Even, I mean, Ryan Pressly gives up an absolute nuke shot. Yeah. just like
and couldn't get through the eighth.
Yes. Yeah. That too. Yeah. You had, tease both Abreu and Hader for more than one inning, which isn't great.
Not great.
I won't say it because the vibes are high. They'll have a rest day coming up when they get blown out by 7 runs when Hunter Brown starts.
Yeah. they won't need to be used.
Like,
yeah.
Like, there's no, we look at the schedule, there's that many days off in the month of May. And it's like, well,
The starting rotation will provide a couple days off for those guys.
Where Gray Kessinger can get back in there, where they pull Altuve in the 7th inning. Like, there's still time.
Yeah, so considering we just talked about the big three, and you use that moniker, by the end of the year, which one of them is going to say, bleep the big three, it's just big me? Which one of them is it going to be?
None of them.
None of them?
None of them deserve
None of them are going to be able to do that?
You think Hader at some point. No, actually, you know what? Since you said it's at the end of the year, it's going to be Ryan Pressly because his contract will expire. And he's like, you know what?
It's big me. I'm out of here. I'm going to go find my money someplace else.
I'm going to go take the bag from, I don't know, the White Sox.
Yeah, he'll get paid by some bad baseball team who's trying to convince their fans they're trying. Maybe give Ryan Pressly a deal.
Yeah, or it's like how Aroldis Chapman just gets signed by a team that's going to win 75 games and then get traded at the deadline. That's what's going to happen.
How would you approach, like, Ryan Pressly is 35 years old. How would you approach the end of your career? You have already won a World Series. Mm-hmm. The team you won the World Series with, you could say, looked at you and said, you're not good enough to be our closer anymore, so we're going to demote you. Would you try to go out winning or eat up some salary cap from some team who isn't great, but they're got to spend money, so they're going to spend it on you at this point? What would you do?
I would look. This isn't really one of the options you gave me, but I would look for a closing role for the best team I could.
Okay.
And just try to
shove it in the Astros' face?
Yeah, basically. Try to outperform Josh Hader for the rest of the respective career.
Oh, so you are Mr. Petty. I don't mind it.
Yeah,
I agree with it, actually.
I'm going to prove the Astros
you're wrong.
That's what I would do.
I'm going to be better than the guy you got to replace me. And every time I see you guys, I would try to pick an AOS team.
I was going to say bonus point because I'm pretty sure he's from Dallas. So he could be coming home and pitch close for the Rangers or
yeah, I don't know if he wants to spend any time in Sacramento the next couple of years.
No,
pitching for
no.
The A's.
Yeah, I mean, really, we're talking about Seattle or Dallas or Texas. So
yeah, yeah.
Those are the two. I don't know, the Yankees maybe. I don't know, but he would have to shave his beard.
Yeah, I don't know if he's interested in all that. But yeah, I think I'm with you. I would definitely do the Petty. I would pick the Petty option and go find a team I can embarrass you with as many times as I can because you chose me. But he's an unrestricted free agent, and it's a mutual option next year. At least that's how SpotTrack is calling it. And he's an unrestricted free agent in 2026, according to
I imagine how's the mutual
so
option?
Do
they both have to opt in?
I'm not sure that works.
I think there's a chance both opt out.
Probably. You sign Hader because you're not looking to play – an eighth and a ninth guy, that type of money. I think that's how he signed a 2-year deal in 2023, and they're calling 2025 a mutual thing. I'll figure out what that actually means. But from what you said and what it looks like, yeah, he's probably done as an Astro
at the end
of this year. And yeah, maybe he's a guy who doesn't want to be here, considering what they chose over him, and that's understandable. And if he's pitching for the Rangers or the Mariners, because he's coming for the Astros. More power to him. I can't knock getting paid and then try to ruin the team who overlooked you or maybe just decided you weren't good enough anymore. So we'll see. Ryan Pressly, not great last night. The Astros probably won't miss him if he continues to pitch like this. But they found a way, thanks partly to John Singleton's homer and also his play, to keep a potential disaster from happening after that swinging bunt and the Hader throw that probably – if not for a very good play by Singleton, leads to a run being scored by the Yankees. And we're talking about an extra inning game where we know the Astros aren't great if the Yankees just don't win it in nine. So that's a disaster scenario avoided, and we got a win. We left there with something, and now we see the Detroit Tigers, who just happen to be better than you, too. So we can't call anything an easy touch. We leave New York, and then we head to – then you face the Tigers, and we'll see. Can momentum be built by a win in New York? We've been playing this game for like a month now. We'll just take it as it comes. We'll continue to talk the Astros throughout the show. We'll get into some of the stuff that happened in the NBA. And also, it's not a report, but it's a projection for the CFP, an early one, considering it's just post-spring. So Sean and I love to talk college football, so we'll get into that as well. If you want to call into the show, 713-780-3776. Also at 11:30, Michael Carroll will join us to tell you what you should watch this weekend. And I'm not going to put him on the spot for this week, but I will ask Michael Carroll to build a list of what we should be watching this summer. We've talked about The Boys coming back. We know that House of the Dragon will be back on that same kind of weekend. I think The Boys premieres on a Thursday, House of the Dragon on the following Sunday. And so we have stuff to discuss, and Michael Carroll is going to build us a list. He doesn't know this yet, but he's going to build us a list of what we should watch and what he's most excited about for this upcoming summer. So a lot of stuff to get to. We'll be back.
ESPN 97.5.
This is the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
Welcome back, and that's just not for everyone that I normally say that to. It's time to welcome back someone who did their time. This gentleman called in last week with a bannable offense. At least he said something that was bannable, and he got banned, but he did his time. He's back on good behavior because technically I think he did he got banned in the second hour of the show. But because he didn't try to sneak in and trick us, he's back a little early. He did his time. He read a couple books, self-improvement, stayed out of trouble, made sure not to be caught in a gang war. I don't know. Julian is back. What's up, Julian?
So, when I was in there, I felt like Mikla.
Yeah.
I wasn't really accepted, and then I became the leader. And so I just, yeah, I'm back, eh? Oh, my gosh, it feels good.
What? Welcome
but, hey,
back.
Man, I haven't finished Tokyo Vice, which is crazy to me, but my fiance and I have just been really busy. Our schedules haven't matched with the kids and everything like that. But X-Men 97, please tell me you guys are a part of that.
Yeah, I've been watching it. I watched the latest episode, as they say, the penultimate episode, and something happens to one of the favorite characters in X-Men history. I'm not going to give it away for people who haven't watched it. I'm in. I watched the show when I was a kid when it was on Fox, and I watched it every week. It was one of my favorite cartoons. So the nostalgia play is legit, but also the stories are well done as well. And X-Men has always been not only about the action, but like the soap opera aspect of it as well, all the relationship stuff. So as far as even interpersonal stuff, not just romantic. So I'm all in on that. I've watched it, and I can't wait for the season finale.
Well, see, I feel like, so let's take away the nostalgia from the first one. I know that's hard to do because that's a huge part of it, right? But take away the nostalgia, X-Men 97 poops on it, brother. It just does.
It does.
Well, you know, what happened was the voiceover people on the original, they tried to have, I guess it sounds funny, but they tried to have a voice of what was going on, and they were being shut out. Well, now they're having a voice, and not just on the screen, and it's being taken into account. And, dude, I just don't – if they were to do a Spider-Man 98, oh, bro, I feel like Peter Parker would be a goon.
Yeah. I wonder how many times they'll try this. The X-Men, I think they're doing it partly because they're coming to live action. And Spider-Man has been done and done and done from the animated since, and also obviously all the live action movies. I wonder if they will continue to revamp old cartoons. Cause I watched Spider-Man too. I think they were like maybe on back to back on Fox. So if they bring
if they bring
Spider-Man back, I'm in on that too. Look, I'm a sucker for. I don't watch a lot of animated stuff, but the X-Men and Spider-Man are two I will definitely watch. So they've done a great job with that show. The stakes are high. They've already killed off a favorite character. And I don't think the guy who suffered in the last episode is dead, but it wouldn't surprise me if someone else died.
Well, look, how about this? My thing is, all right, spoiler alert, you don't want to hear about X-Men 97, you don't change the station because radio, you don't change the station, but you can turn it down a little bit. So, how does he have open wounds if he's constantly regenerating?
Well, the thought is, since you gave it away, we're talking about Wolverine. Let me get really, really, very, very, very nerdy here. The thought is that the adamantium affects his healing. So, if the fact that it's being ripped out might make him more susceptible, or make him more aligned with all his real powers, because the adamantium is a metal that's in his body. It's hurting his ability. So the thought is those come out and the wounds show up, and then now that they're out, he'll heal more easily. So we'll see. I don't know how the animation's going to do it. I just know that happened. Those are questions. You asked a very, very nerdy question, and I gave you a very nerdy, nerdy answer. But I think that's kind of what they're playing at.
Back in the day, Jim Harbaugh used to say this, and this is what I feel like being back on the show. Who's got it better than us? Nobody! Have a good weekend, gentlemen.
He had to get some 49er crap in here, but at least it wasn't the one that got him banned. You're on parole, by the way. Watch yourself. You came in, I don't mind X-Men 97, but you got really, really nerdy and did a spoiler thing that I was trying to avoid. So make sure you show up at your next appointment, and you must have a job by next week, or you're going back in. That's all I'm saying.
He's got four more calls left until he's off parole. Yeah, just get through four more clean.
Get through four more. Yeah, but you're close. You're late to your first appointment almost. But welcome Julian back to the show, even if he decided to bring all the nerdy stuff into the equation. Jim Harbaugh, the new coach of the LA Chargers. Jim Harbaugh, who probably is going to lean into running the football like he always has done. What's that mean for Justin Herbert? I guess you're de-emphasizing one of the alleged great quarterbacks in football. Maybe Jim Harbaugh thinks of him differently, despite what he might say publicly. They drafted Ladd McConkey, but the whole Quentin Johnson or Johnston, Josh Palmer, Ladd McConkey trio, not exactly putting fear in the minds or in the hearts of anyone. So we'll see how Harbaugh decides to run that offense. But Greg Rome is the OC, so I imagine we're just going to run the football a lot and let Justin Herbert benefit from potentially people focusing on your running game. We'll see about that. I just tried to at least change it to a football discussion because the Harbaugh thing with the 49ers and the nerdy X-Men stuff might be a lot for some people. I was going to get to the Texans acquiring someone who used to play in the NFC West to try to make that connection with Harbaugh, but we'll wait. We'll do that when we come back. The Texans traded for a utility piece. What it means for their offense, we'll break it down a little bit. I mean, they swap late round picks for this particular player. People, I think, are overvaluing what he might bring, considering what I think the focus of the Texans offense will be. We'll talk about that when we come back. Anyone else want to call in with football questions? If you want to get really nerdy, that's that option too. We have that option for you too. I mean, Julian took it a little too far with the question about how can he heal or why doesn't he heal? How does he have wounds? All right, buddy, you're on parole. Remember that. Don't push it. We'll be back.
ESPN 97.5. Please stand by.
You're listening to the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
Welcome back to the show. Fake Julian, I see you. We'll get to you here shortly because all of a sudden now we're having a discussion between DC and Marvel and which one is best. And Dreamshake, I saw your tweet. We'll get to that as well. But Ben Skowronek is the player the Texans have acquired. He was a utility guy for the Rams. They swapped picks. Gave up a sixth, got back a seventh for Ben Skowronek. It's one of those things where he was going to be released, and then the Texans jumped in and said, you know what, we don't want you to get to the open market. We're willing to swap picks for you. So he comes in. He played fullback for the Rams. He's played wide receiver. He had a couple catches in the Super Bowl. You know, Cooper Kupp dominated that game, but Odell Beckham Jr. was big until he got injured, and then they had to find a second receiver. So Skowronek made a couple plays, I think he might have tipped the ball up in the air. Stafford threw the ball a little low on a ball across the middle. I think Skowronek tipped it up in the air, and it was picked off by a Bengal.
CJ would have put that right between the...
Well, of course.
Right in the numbers.
Stafford's one of those poverty quarterbacks that Lance keeps talking about.
I was going to say right between the... you know, 8 and the 1, but I realized I don't know what number he wears.
He wore 18.
Okay, right between the 1 and the 8,
yes,
then.
I believe Skowronek was the one who that led to a pick, but the Bengals obviously went on to lose that game. I think he had a big third down catch at some point as well. So he's played in big games. How many targets will he get? You've got three big-time wide receivers that you have to keep happy, so probably not a lot. Will he be used as an option in the backfield when you have Anthony Beck as your what you would think is your starting fullback, and how many two back sets will they actually employ when you have three legitimate receiver options and then Dalton Schultz? I don't know. I think his biggest thing might simply be wide receiver depth. We know Tank is coming back from an injury. Thankfully, it wasn't one of those things that you think is nagging that's always going to plague Tank. Yes, it was an injury where he was in a spot you would hope he doesn't have to be in, but it wasn't one of those things where Tank was being nagged by injuries all year long, so hopefully he can avoid a disaster type of injury and play 15 to 17 games, and you have Nico and Stephon Diggs. So I think people were a little too excited about the acquisition. I just think, hey, is he going to even beat out Robert Woods or John Metchie, or is he even going to do that? We'll see.
Yeah, I think part of the reason people are so excited about Skronik is that it's like the only move that's happened in the month of May.
In a while, outside of the draft, yeah.
Yeah, and so a little bit is it's a drop of water in the desert. But then on the other hand, I've seen some, you know, trying to familiarize myself with Skronik's game. And I see a lot of, like, the Texans likely value the special teams and the run blocking that he brings at the wide receiver position. And then I was like, okay, there's only so much I can get excited when you're telling me that the wide receiver you just, I guess, traded for, but you just signed, you value his run blocking. That's the bullet point, is how good he is when the ball's being run. All right.
Yeah, I mean, he's probably better at it than Tank. Maybe if he's blocking around the goal line, he doesn't have a leg fracture.
It's a touchdown with two healthy legs.
Yeah,
that's what you're saying.
Yeah, so maybe
he's the Larry Allen.
Maybe Bobby Slowick has heard all your complaints. He's Larry Allen. Yeah, around the goal line of wide receivers. Bobby Slowick heard all your complaints, and he doesn't want to put Tank in a position where he's blocking around the goal line in crowded areas. So maybe Ben Skoranek will now be that guy. It certainly would be a tell to the defense. Oh, Skoranek's in.
It's a run.
So he'll have to diversify some of that. But maybe he has an option now to block in the slot. He's a useful piece, and he'll have to play multiple positions to have value on this team, considering what's ahead of him. But hey, you'll take it. It only costs you a pick swap, and I guess maybe he's your four if Metchie or Robert Woods doesn't take that, and you'll live with it. You're just adding a bit here and a bit there, but we all know how this team will run and what will make it a successful year. And it won't be the acquisition of Ben Skoranek, but maybe he'll make a play or two that you'll say, you know what, Casario, executive of the year, transaction god, if Skoranek comes through in a couple big-time situations. We'll see. We got a couple of calls because it is this show. We've got a guy named Tongue Dart and a guy named Fake Julian. We'll go to Fake Julian first. What's up, Fake? What's up, Fake Julian?
What it is, Jive Chicken?
It's turkeys, but sure.
Hey, Dale. So we're talking about Marvel versus DC, right? And Marvel hasn't really been good in animations. You know, they're more after the movies, right? Because DC has made better animations from the long run, ever since the 90s, right?
Sure, I would agree. The DC animated movies are very popular. Did you have a question, or are you just telling me that DC's better than Marvel?
I'm just going to let you know DC's better than Marvel, but I have a real basketball question. Rick Carlisle just got fined $35,000. Is it unfair because Patrick Beverly hasn't even got anything, and he threw a basketball at somebody, and what's his name, Jamal Murray, threw a heating pad? Is it just the coaches that are getting treated unfair? And bang bang Texan gang, whatever.
Does Fake Julian, is that impression because he thinks the regular Julian's uninformed? Because Patrick Beverly got four games. He did get a punishment, and Jamal Murray, yeah, didn't get suspended, but he got fined $100,000, I believe, for his actions. So Rick Carlisle, if you missed it, we played some of the sound yesterday. I wouldn't say he went off because there wasn't a lot of bass in his voice when he was complaining about the referees, but he mentioned that the referees were maybe slanting their calls towards the big market team, and they sent in the 78 missed calls through the first two games to the NBA offices. So the aftermath, the day after, I guess is breaking news because I hadn't seen it yet, $35,000, unless the Fake Julian is wrong about that too. We'll see. But if Rick Carlisle got fined, I'm not surprised. I'm a little surprised by the amount. I thought he might have gotten more, but Jamal Murray had three incidents. I guess you can say Rick Carlisle, it was all in one press conference, so we'll just hit him with the $35,000, Fake Julian. And my question to you, Sean, do you think he added the nerdy voice because of the topic, or does he think Julian sounds like that?
I don't know how you would think that Julian sounds like
that. He doesn't sound like that.
That's not what he sounds like.
No.
I also like the Bang Bang Texan game, whatever.
Whatever.
whatever. That should be the actual Texans motto is bang bang Texan game or whatever.
Who's he?
Whatever.
Yeah. But I appreciate your call, Fake Julian. I think the NBA at this point, a coach criticizing the refs in a postgame presser is now par for the course. They try to dance around getting fined. Sometimes Carlisle did not take that opportunity to dance. He decided, despite my issues with his tone, to make it pretty clear that he was willing to catch that fine. And it's all gamesmanship. Will it affect the officiating? Maybe the home crowd in Indiana will do more than his complaining. So, yeah, the NBA fines or gets after everyone. Maybe we question how much they gave Patrick Beverley, only the four, but he caught it. And the question will be, will he actually serve it this season? Because there are some thoughts that people think Patrick Beverley is done, washed, cooked, whatever word you want to use, and maybe no one's rushing to sign him. He's a guy, if he doesn't get signed in the third or fourth wave of free agency, it's probably someone who's waiting till training camp or maybe in season for someone to decide, hey, they need a fourth or fifth guard. We'll see about Patrick Beverley. But yeah, he got his, but just four.
I have some not breaking news, just
news
developing story.
Okay.
Real Julian called in and said, what the hell? He gets nothing for Bang Bang Texan Gang, and I get suspended for Bang Bang Niner Gang.
Sorry.
He says it's a miscarriage of justice.
But I can't, but it's Fake Julian, so I can't suspend a fake person.
Ooh,
I don't know
that's
who
a dangerous precedent to set.
I know. but the problem is, if I suspend Fake Julian, that just means no one who can call in as Fake Julian.
That is true.
Yeah.
That is true.
He used the cover of you, Julian, you as the fall guy, to get away with what he said. That's all. And by the way, he said it as a taunt to you, not as a real thing. You say that with your chest. That's the whole point. That's why it's so terrible, because you feel so good saying it when you shouldn't.
The whatever at the end was the little tag to say parody.
Yeah. if fake Julian wasn't enough, he did add a little bit at the end to go, look, I'm kidding about this. So no, he doesn't catch. You don't. Look, you served your time. Just be happy that you got off early.
Now he served his time. He's out now. Now he's devoting himself to police reform and to criminal justice.
No, he's not.
Reform.
He's not, actually. He says, I got mine. He should get his, too. He's not about police reform. He goes, he's like those guys. He's like someone who didn't like the loan forgiveness, student loan forgiveness. Hey, I had to pay. They got to pay, too. That's what he is. You're not. That's what you are, Julie. Yeah.
Snitch? Is that how he got out early?
Well, we'll have to find out. I'm not going to put it out there because apparently I'm law enforcement. I'm not going to tell. I get that man hurt by informing the general public what he did.
Officer Dell.
Yeah. Ooh, I don't like that. I don't like CO Dell. Parole Officer Dell. I don't like any of P.O.
There's going to be a picture of you. There's a picture
like
Rick Ross.
Of Rick Ross. I don't like P.O. Dell. I don't like CO Dell. I don't like Officer Dell. I don't like Lieutenant Dell. I don't like any of it. I'm just a guy who's trying to keep this show away from certain things like awful slogans for teams in the Bay. That's all. Tongue Dark Chris, I see you. We'll get to you on the other side. You want to talk about X-Men 2. Maybe. Who knows what you actually want to talk about, but we'll get to you when we come back.
ESPN 97.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Del Olalea Show.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now back to Del Olalea.
We're back. That voice is Michael Carroll, the one you heard, bringing us back. And at 11:30, he'll join us to really talk about the things we've kind of talked about throughout the first 45 minutes of the show. And we're going to continue that right now. Tongue Dark Chris wants to talk X-Men. What's up, Tongue Dart?
Good morning, gentlemen. Yeah, no, I just want to touch base on X-Men 97 because it has been pretty fantastic. But like, you talked about a spoiler, but that's not the only big death that's happened in the show. And, like, the other guy that died, I felt like he went out like a G.
Yeah, I didn't want to break it for anyone just so they might be able to watch it. But, yeah, the way he died and his last line was great. He's one of those characters that hasn't got really a good shake in live action. Probably a character that's been underused, but as far as in the animated series, he's been great. And he was great in 97. So it's comic books. Will he come back at some point? And the way he died, I don't think so. I think this is the point of the series, and the way they're doing it is, hey, the X-Men are there are stakes involved, and just the comic book kind of thing of we're just going to bring a guy back. I don't think it's happening. I feel like if someone dies in this series, they're going to stay dead.
Yeah, I feel like what they've been doing is they've actually been, like, it was more of a kid show kind of back in the day, but now it's like the grown-ups are grown up. We're going to do more grown-up stuff. But another thing, too, that I wanted to mention was a show that's coming late summer on Netflix that I'm looking forward to is Umbrella Academy. I'm waiting to see how that wraps up, so I don't know where you're at with that one. But
I'm up to date. I'll probably have to rewatch season three or see some type of recap thing to catch up to it. I'm in. Like, I'm a completist. So if I start a series that I liked, and even if you might think a season or two didn't live up to the originals, at least the first season, I will watch it. I'm there. We make the joke all the time. John loves the talking monkey Pongo. And now, you know, they had two different academies because of the timeline divergence. So we'll see how that stuff clears up and what they do for their final season. But yeah, I'll be watching that. It's that genre stuff.
Especially
that
with the way, like, season three, I just wrapped up finally, but it was pretty good. I enjoyed the way it ended with, like, nobody having, I'm not gonna say that's a spoiler if nobody's seen it. But other than that, so you're a product of the internet growing up, correct?
Definitely.
Okay, so you know all about 4chan, the original Reddit.
I'm aware, yeah.
Okay, so my question to you about that is, where were you the day of the fappening?
I don't know where I was. I didn't mark it down. It wasn't a day in my history that I'm going to always remember. If you don't know what the fappening is, I'm not going to explain what that word means.
Okay, good.
I'm not going to explain what it means. It was a day that there's a giant leak of celebrity nudes. Like, it had been Ryan's Christmas. It'll have been Ryan's ultimate Christmas.
That's his origin story, actually.
Yeah, yeah, that's why he's now so interested.
That was the day he was born.
Yeah, the whatever version of Ryan we're getting now, it began that day. But yeah, I don't know where I was. I just know it was a day that a lot of internet pervs celebrated, and it continues to be a day that people reference. Case in point, internet perv referencing the fappening. You guys can figure out what that word means. I'm not telling you because I don't want to get involved. But I don't remember. It's just a day where celebrity nudes dropped, a lot of them, for people that you may not have expected those nudes to come out. They did. And it's probably, what's like a decade now, probably at this point, somewhere around there?
2014.
Yeah, so 10 years.
August 31st, 2014. So, I had just moved into my dorm in college, my freshman year of college.
2014, I'm trying to think where I was. I might have been just back the second time here, working on the national side that is now defunct. But yeah, sorry, I didn't remember the date that it started.
August 31st.
But now that Sean has told me, I can kind of figure out where I was in life.
Getting ready for week one of college football. Yeah,
and Prime Cut, or whatever that show was called.
Georgia and Clemson, I think, kicked things off week one.
Yeah, Mark Richt was still toiling at Georgia, disappointing everyone with 10-win seasons.
I think that was Deshaun Watson's freshman year.
Yeah,
he and I were in the same.
He was splitting
high school.
Well, that's how you mark the passage of time. I was in the same recruiting class as Deshaun Watson.
Got a lot of the same offers.
I had a huddle. Yeah, you had a huddle page too, right? Deshaun Watson was splitting time with Cole Stout.
Yes.
Yes. And then Jabo was like, what the hell am I doing here? I think, didn't he like have a, he ripped up his leg.
Yeah, he tore his ACL. Yeah. I want to say in the South Carolina game.
I think so. And then he went on to play with a knee brace on, I think, throughout the rest of the year, at least a couple games. I remember the Deshaun Watson year where he became, you know, Clemson legend, and then all the stuff that followed at least 2 years into his Texans time. Not so great, but hey. In Clemson, he was just the next big thing.
Yeah, at that point, I was just like, wow, that guy is also a freshman in college,
yeah.
And he is doing that, and I am sitting in my dorm couch.
Genetics, Sean. Genetics. Yeah. Sometimes you lose the lottery. That's all. Yeah. That's all. It happens.
It's all right.
Yeah. Let's just say since that point, your name has less stains on it than his does.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, yes, definitely.
Yeah, I mean, sure, the money that he's accrued.
He's still not actually down to my level, but
no. But when the name is said, when Sean Mapes is said,
people don't go freak.
Yeah, people are like, oof.
He's a fan.
Yeah. Yeah, well. Unfortunately for you, maybe
Sean
you don't care.
Got a weird case. Why is he around?
Why is he around? No one's saying that about you, yeah. Deshaun, we said that for a while and the Browns are like, it's 230 million reasons why he's still around. And then all those draft picks we gave him. So, yeah, 2014, apparently, that was when the big celebrity leak occurred. Don't remember it. And I'll be fine not thinking about it ever again. But thanks, Tongue Dart, for remembering. You know, if you want to call in on August 31st to commemorate it, call a different show. No, what he should do, because this show would accept him, he should call the Killer Bees and see how they handle it.
Oh, God.
Because I think Gallant and George would laugh it off. And John and Lance show, we'd be okay. Call the Killer Bees if you want to commemorate that particular event. Guys, I'm just calling in. I know we're close to the start of college football, and the NFL's wrapping up the final preseason games. But actually, what I want to talk about is...
It's a holiday show.
Yeah. It's a big date in my history. That's what you
do. A lot
of
listeners out
there. Yeah, I know you feel accepted calling this show because we'll just laugh it off. You want to start chaos? Let's see how Branham and Blank handle that particular subject matter.
I'd love for BMAC to be the one that has to look it up and be like, yeah, I know. Here's what it is, guys.
Yeah, I have 4chan. What's that? August 31st, what's that mean? We'll see. We'll see what Tongue Dart Chris does on that date. Before we're talking a lot of college football, before we wrap it up, well, we'll get this hour up. Before we get to the CFP projection by a certain writer, we're getting more, and I talked about this really since the show began. I'm going to look up news on this, and there's more news. Well, relative news. We've seen some of the cover, the players who are going to be on the cover of NCAA 25, although it's not called that anymore. It's EA College Football 25. The news was that we're going to see multiple players on the cover because of all the special NIL deals they signed. Now, they signed deals with, like, over 12,800 players. Not all those players can be in the game. Just roster limits would keep that from happening. But we also have these special NIL deals for stars. And the cover right now of the deluxe edition, if we're going by what the PlayStation Store has to offer, you see the backs of Donovan Edwards, Quinn Ewers, Travis Hunter, Jalen Milroe, Carson Beck, Judkins from Ohio State. So they're not particularly facing the camera, but all of them are on the cover of what looks to be the deluxe edition of the game. And it looks like real shots of them from games and just, you know, photoshopped together, it looks like. I don't think they got all of these guys to pose for pictures. Maybe they did. But it looks like Donovan Edwards from an actual game. So we'll see if we'll see like a behind-the-scenes photo shoot of it.
I was going to say, if there's an actual photo shoot, good job on these guys for not having it on Instagram
social media
live.
yeah exactly, and leaking it
or even just posting. I mean, because what, two of these guys have private plane sponsorships.
Yeah.
so you know, they're not like, hey, flying to I don't know wherever EA headquarters
Tiburon
is.
Yeah, what, maybe Orlando. I'm not sure that where their college football headquarters are. So the game is getting closer. I think it'll be released in July, and apparently there's going to be a big reveal about the game next week. At least it was the first couple weeks of May when that was supposed to happen. Doesn't look like it's going to happen this week. And the first in-game screenshot, John, have you seen it?
Yes, I think. Or I don't know if it's the first one, but I have seen a screenshot.
It is of Notre Dame walking out of the tunnel into Notre Dame Stadium. So that appears to be the first in-game screenshot of the game itself. And it looks great. Some people said it looks just like the Madden intro. And, of course, that was some of the complaining. Hey, let's not make it a Madden game. The people who have developed this game have said it's not going to be that way. So we'll see. But it looks great as far as looking at it on my laptop. So we're getting closer and closer to that. Just part of the pop culture things we've discussed today. We'll get into some Astro stuff coming back from our break. And also, we didn't get much into the NBA because we were distracted by talk of DC and Marvel and other things. So we'll get into what happened last night in the NBA as the series were evened up. The 2-1 seeds lost game two at home back-to-back. So we'll talk about that when we come back.
ESPN 97.5.
We'll be right back after this break.
Hi, Uncle Laser here. America's built on fast cars, fast food, and even faster women. Photo Casino's built in America. You know what they're fast at? Fast cash prize redemption. You see, only Moto is U.S. owned and operated. Moto, it's American made. That's who we are, and that's who we care about. Play for free at Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.